This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, the director of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, overruled a recommendation by an advisory panel and said healthcare workers or others who might be exposed in their jobs, as well as those over 65 and over, can get Pfizer boosters. That mirrors the FDA's approval earlier this week. Israel has already been administering third doses to much of its population, and here in the U.S., some people are seeking out an additional shot on their own, flying totally under the official radar. So why is this policy so confusing, and who is in charge? Joining me now to help sort through those questions and other booster conundrums is Sarah Jane Tribble, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Arthur Allen, an editor there, and author of the book Vaccine, the controversial story of medicine's greatest lifesaver. They recently published an article delving into the booster backstory, and you can find that at sciencefriday.com/boosters. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to have you both. Sarah Jane, how unusual is it for the CDC director to overrule an advisory panel?
It's very unusual. It was not expected, but I think that the director, Walensky, wanted to go along with what the FDA had said earlier in the week and also to kind of back up the plan that President Biden laid out in August.
Arthur, isn't it sort of nebulous? We don't really know who these at-risk individuals are or the whole universe of them.
Well, we don't know exactly who they all are, but we can think of some obvious groups who would have been very upset if they couldn't be qualified for a booster, and that includes healthcare workers and teachers. And, you know, whether they're really at highest risk, I mean, there were during the CDC Advisory Committee meeting yesterday, there were people who said, well, it turns out that most of the healthcare workers who've gotten COVID have gotten it at home and brought it to work. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, we have to remember that, you know, this is not really just a purely scientific decision. I don't think you would say that it contravenes science, but the science is complicated and difficult to sort out. And there are political elements here. And one of them is that, you know, you have two-thirds of the country is vaccinated and has had it with the pandemic and had it with the non-vaccinated people, and they want to get whatever protection is available.
Yeah, one of the concerns for the advisory committee yesterday when they were discussing this was the idea that approving the booster would not enable more Americans who haven't been vaccinated at all. It wouldn't encourage them to go get that initial vaccination. It talked quite a bit about that.
And Arthur, how soon do we think that the Moderna vaccine will be approved? Because we're talking only the Pfizer dose now.
Well, I think they've submitted their data to the FDA and sought a booster dose. So it's up to the FDA. And, you know, we don't know exactly, but I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be within the next couple weeks at the latest, maybe sooner, maybe in the next few days. I don't know.
And Sarah, these Pfizer doses, are they the same ones that people have already been given, or is it a new formulation?
No, it's the same one. You would go back and just get a third shot of the Pfizer dose. There was an interesting statistic presented during the meeting yesterday, and this idea that there is about 70% of the vaccinations given in the U.S. are giving at pharmacies, like your CVS or your Walgreens. And already, more than 2.3 million people, Americans, have received an additional dose, according to the data on the CDC website this morning.
I know people who are doing that now, who are 65 and older, and even people under 65, and just walking in and getting a shot, the third one.
Yeah,
I did a story on the idea that Pfizer was pushing boosters. And earlier this summer, Pfizer's CEO, Albert Bourla, came out and said that there was waning efficacy. And at the same time, as people were hearing about this, I interviewed somebody. Her name was Angie Melton, and she had decided that she would go get an extra shot. She had had Johnson & Johnson. She wanted to go get a shot of one of the mRNA vaccines because she was fearful about passing on the coronavirus to her child, who is not qualified for a shot. He's too young.
Arthur, what's going on when you get a booster? What is it doing to your immune system?
Well, the first shot or the shots that you get, you know, stimulate these immune cells to either to make antibodies or to recognize the virus and kill cells that are infected with it. And over time, you know, the antibodies that you get in that first series start to wane, which means they fall apart. Even as they're fading, however, these cells that were stimulated by the vaccine to begin with You know, they apparently don't die off as quickly, assuming you have a healthy immune system. And they're sort of lying in wait in your blood or bone marrow or lymph nodes. And with the booster, they kind of get this jolt into, you know, multiplying and cranking out more antibodies. And in some cases, even sort of diversifying or, you know, mutating in a way that gives them sort of more versatility to attack the virus should you be infected.
Do we know enough about boosters from previous vaccines? Why do some vaccines need boosters and some don't?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally boosters are common with vaccines. In the old-timey days, as you might say, you know, there were these weakened live virus vaccines like the smallpox vaccine and the measles vaccine, which is still a very effective vaccine. And these were viruses that had been weakened. And so they acted like viruses. They infect you, although they don't make you sick, usually. And they seem to stimulate a more kind of varied response by your immune system because it recognizes them as the real thing. And, you know, sort of evolutionarily, it's kind of trained to do that and to be ready the next time. But live virus vaccines in some cases cause more side effects. And more recently, of course, we've moved to these very sophisticated ways of producing vaccines that create a more targeted response to the pathogen, to COVID in this case. So they create a more targeted response to the pathogen, but one that's not as broad. So you need two or three shots usually to get the full effect. So we talked to Dr. Fauci about this, and here's what he said.
Well, and in my mind, and it's purely my instinct as an immunologist and an infectious disease person, that the proper regimen is ultimately going to be a three-shot regimen where you get a prime, a boost, you let the immune system mature for several months, be that five or six or seven or whatever, and then you come in with the boost. So that's the thing that seems to escape people when they start talking about boosts.
Yeah, because people think that by getting a booster that that we've admitted that the vaccine isn't working, right? We have to have a booster? Do they understand that's part of the system?
I don't think most people do. And I mean, I think most of us just really didn't think about it. But that's, you know, if you know the history of vaccines, you know, that's definitely, it's a common thing.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, you found that NIH had this in their mind for a while, right?
Yeah, the NIH itself has been talking about boosters since January, at least January. And not only have they been talking about it, but they've been working with scientists around the world, forming a group called the SAVE Group. That group is 60 to 70 epidemiologists, infectious disease experts, and others from around the globe, including agencies here in the U.S. The FDA and CDC have members, and BARDA, they're all part of that, but also from Israel, the Netherlands, and elsewhere. These folks meet once a week, and they have subgroups to track the variants that are coming out with coronavirus, and then to collect samples and then do tests with mice and animal testing. And so the reporting that we did really uncovered this idea that the NIH has been on top of this all along. One of the folks I talked with, Dr. Bob Seder, he is one of the principal investigators there and has been active with the Moderna vaccine team. He had done some testing, and I'll let him explain it.
Back in March, we had, you know, kind of projected this already. And so we had animals that we had vaccinated with the Moderna vaccine back in the fall for the express purpose of looking at immune responses over a long period of time.
Yeah, so they were looking at animal models way back, understanding they would need to do this later on.
Yeah, I mean, they were looking at model animals back in the fall, and they knew and anticipated that they would need to look not only at the short-term effects of the vaccines, but the long-term effects. And when he said that to us, I sort of paused and thought to myself, of course, you know, we've had vaccines around for ages. And of course, the scientists are worried about the long-term efficacy, the long-term strength of these vaccines. And of course, these brilliant scientists who have spent their whole lives studying vaccines and working as public servants were already thinking ahead of what the general public would think. So once he said that, I was sort of like, yeah, they had set animals on the shelf, so to speak, to look at the long-term effects of whether the vaccines would work or not. And in looking at that, they would be asking, well, do we need a boost? Because we've had to boost other vaccines in the past. And when you think about it that way, it's sort of like, huh, there's no surprises here for them. And indeed, what they found with their animal models was really good response with the antibodies once they did boost.
So how did the president sort of get out ahead of the regulatory committees on this? Did he listen to the NIH and then here come the FDA and CDC and he's sort of trapped now?
Well, the president has this group, you know, the COVID-19 task force that he's put together. And so Biden's announcement in August came after talking with that White House COVID-19 task force. That includes, you know, Jeff Zients is the leader of that. He kind of organizes it. It includes Dr. Fauci, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, former FDA Commissioner David Kessler, and current FDA and CDC leaders. So that group of folks, they've been talking for months about the data that they're seeing coming in, the research. They talk to the NIH, they talk to the companies, they're looking at every aspect of the research. And notably, Dr. Fauci told us that he meets with Biden on a weekly basis. And we confirmed that Fauci and others in those top White House meetings heard from the NIH scientists as well in their own meetings about the research on boosters. And so when you take that all together and you think this group of leaders that Biden has appointed as his task force, he's listening to them. And these leaders were convinced that they wanted to go out ahead of the Delta variant after, you know, they heard from the NIH, they heard from the corporations, they were watching Israel, and they made their call and hoped for the approval process to sort of keep up.
Arthur, so what's the calculation that these advisory committees are making here? Where is the balance? They must be walking a line somewhere here.
I think that sort of in the face of, you know, public skepticism or leeriness of getting another shot and the fact that, you know, all these vaccines could clearly do a lot of good in poor countries, they don't want to be in the position of recommending vaccines unless they really think they're necessary. And especially if they cause additional serious side effects like myocarditis, which has been, you know, reported mainly in sort of younger men after the second mRNA vaccine, whether Pfizer, Moderna. And so, I mean, I think it's really unlikely that we're going to see any of these events once boosters start being given out. But we don't have that much data yet. And even the data from Israel, you know, the younger people were the last to get the boosters. So we haven't seen a huge amount of data from them as to whether the levels of myocarditis might be higher, theoretically. And so, you know, these committees are weighing risks and benefits for the public. And the research isn't really totally there yet that satisfies our knowledge of either. Even though, you know, as Sarah Jane was pointing out, like with the woman she talked to, I mean, on a personal level, you know, it's pretty easy to see people deciding, yeah, it is time. I'd like to have some more protection.
This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. And so the president and the NIH already sort of throwing their weight behind this. Does this make it look like a political decision by Dr. Fauci here?
It really does feel like that. Whether the NIH and the president like it or not, it does feel like a political decision because it's coming from sort of these top officials as opposed to the agencies themselves. But let's not also, I don't want to minimize the influence of the pharmaceutical companies here. Even before Biden's announcement, you heard Pfizer's Albert Bourla coming out much earlier this summer about talking about the waning immunity and beginning to push for boosters. And then, of course, we've talked about Israel and what they saw there. Fauci, he told us that in his mind, the sooner you get the boosters out, the better if you want to prevent people from getting sick in general. But he also really drove home the point that he wanted the decision to not be, I mean, the decision just isn't one guy or one group. It needs to be done sort of the American way.
Let's make sure we do it with the official process. And the official process is the FDA with their VRBPAC and all the things that you do. And if they say, we don't think there's enough data to do a booster, then so be it. It'll be that way. I think that would be a mistake, to be honest with you. But nonetheless, you know, we want to do it by the proper procedure.
So it sounds like he thinks, you know, let's go by the book, even though I think you may be making a mistake and not bringing the boosters out fast enough.
Yeah.
You could see at the FDA meeting that there was this fairly open breach between the head of the biologics division at FDA and the person who's directly under him, Marion Gruba, who is in charge of vaccines. She obviously was more conservative and cautious than he was. He was going for full approval of boosters for everyone, which was, I assume, you know, Pfizer must have thought that he was going to have the final word.
So let's try to wrap this up and talk about where we go from here. What should we be expecting in the weeks ahead? Would it be fair to say that people over 65 and maybe under 65 will be going out and getting boosters on their own?
Without a doubt. I think that you're already seeing people going out and get boosters on their own. I think that they trust the idea that the companies have said that the boosters are needed because of waning efficacy. And they trust the idea that, you know, Fauci has said boosters are needed. I think they'll be going out and getting them on their own.
And what about the official position? Will we be expecting that to keep shifting?
I mean, I think, you know, this week, Johnson & Johnson reported that the booster shot has, you know, the potential to give people really excellent protection. Moderna is expected to release similar data soon. And then, you know, there's all this pharma industry pressure to get third doses. And I'm kind of wondering whether these committees are going to meet again for each of these vaccines, or are they going to, is it possible that they might meet again, you know, to reconsider broadening their recommendation in terms of who should get vaccinated? I mean, it really depends, obviously, on the data that we're seeing from the ground and from hospitals. I think they're going to be very responsive to that.
Well, that's a good place to end, folks. Thank you for really an enlightening discussion.
Thank you, Ira.
Thank you, Ira.
You're welcome. Sarah Jane Tribble, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Arthur Allen is an editor at KHN and also author of the book Vaccine, the controversial story of medicine's greatest lifesavers. And you can read their article on the booster story. It's at sciencefriday.com/boosters.